Thank you. He tells glorify in the name of Jesus. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru. So today's topic is the role of the holy man in the life of a devotee. Before I begin, I'd like to ask, how many of you have a regulative principle to chant at least 16 rounds a day? Just so I know it. How many less than 15, but at least 8? Less than 8, but at least 4. And less than 4, but at least 1. And is there anyone here who hasn't made a determination or resolution to chant at least 1 round a day? Okay. So, the role of the holy man in the life of the devotee. A more proper question might be, what is my role in the life of the holy man? Because actually the holy man is Krishna himself. So the question isn't, what is Krishna's role in my life? What is my role in Krishna's life? Nanda Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vidhyana. The holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself. Now, in the conditioned stage of life, we're pretty much all in the conditioned stage of life. We are in the bodily concept of life. We think, I am this body, and everything in relation to this body is mine. So, my wife, my parents, my children, my home, my car, my bank account, and so on. In other words, I am the center. And the process of spiritual advancement means that Krishna becomes the center. The concept of I and mine becomes purified. Instead of thinking, I am this body and everything in relation to the body is mine, I think,
I am Krishna's, and Krishna is mine.
But that process of Krishna becoming the center instead of me in the body concept of life is gradual. And because we're in the bodily concept of life, absorbed in thoughts of body and mind, we think, what is the role of the holy name in my life? As if I have some separate identity. I have my life, and I have so many things in my life, and where does the holy name fit in my life? Well, that's not a bad question for a conditioned soul to ask. But through the process of purification, by chanting the holy name, we want to change that mentality. We don't want to have the conception of I am mine in a material sense. My love for this Krishna fit into my life. But we want to think, I am Krishna. What does Krishna want to do with me? How can I get Krishna's pleasure? And that is our goal. So even though we have not come to the stage where practically Krishna is the center, because we're conditioned, we still tend to think that we are of ourselves in the center. But our goal is, and reality is, that Krishna is in the center. So, what is our relationship with Krishna? Do they serve by Krishna and the Seva? We are the eternal servants of Krishna. We're not the body, that's the first thing. So, given that we're not the body, what are we? We're the part and parcel of this spirit soul, part and parcel of the supreme soul. And as the natural function of the part is to serve the whole, our natural function as individual souls is to serve the supreme soul or Krishna. And because Krishna and the holy name are the same, and especially in our stage of sadhana, we come to identify ourselves as the eternal servants of the holy name. And when we identify ourselves as the eternal servants of the holy name, then our life is transformed. And every aspect of our life is seen in relation to our constitutional position as the eternal servants of the Holy Name. We have one god brother named Gopal Bhatta Das. Gopal Bhatta Das is the owner of a multi-million dollar company called the Deposit Factory. And I forget what he said. I'm not saying it for any other reason except to make the point that they have a lot of responsibility. But I think he said his income is like $120 million a year. So, at a certain stage,
he decided to devote a lot of time and energy to ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to help the society function better. Because in the material world, they have devised ways of being successful in business and in other aspects of life, and we wanted this kind to be successful. And we wanted to implement some of the principles that have been made successful in the material world in this. So one of his god brothers at a certain stage approached him and said that, you know, you're putting so much time and effort into this time and to improve it. I just hope that you're not disappointed in the end, because this kind of this society that cannot respond in the way that you would hope. And he said that I'm really concerned because I don't want you to be hurt. And Gopal Bhatta Prabhu replied, and he himself, among the world, he was impressed by how spontaneously he replied in a way that he did. He replied, I do not consider myself to be, you know, the savior of this time, or the reformer of this time, or any sort of big person in this time for the world. If I have any identity in this stage of devotional service, it is as an aspiring servant of the Holy One. And even if this time doesn't accept any of my ideas, I will not be in the least bit disappointed, because I've already gotten the benefit that I wanted. And that is that my service to this time has helped me in my relationship with the Holy Name. So there's no chance that I'll be disappointed if you have heard me in this session. Because when we see ourselves as the eternal servants of the Holy Name, then we see everything else in relationship to service to the Holy Name. And this time is really meant to be a vehicle for distributing the Holy Name. Service to this time means service to the Holy Name. And service in this consciousness, we see the other devotees as servants of the Holy One. And we see ourselves as servants of the servants of the Holy One. And therefore, just as we all hear, Krishna says in Radha Purana, Rajan, those who claim to be my devotees are not my devotees. But as well as the devotees are my devotees, I ask my devotees. So we have our direct relationship with the Holy Name. And that relationship is developed primarily by chanting and hearing offensively. But we also serve the Holy Name by spreading the Holy Name, and thus by serving the other servants of the Holy Name who are also engaged in spreading the Holy Name. And therefore, the first offense against the holy name is the blasphemy of the body, so then killing the mouse to profitable the holy name. The servants of the holy name are dear to the holy name. So if we offend a servant of the holy name, then the holy name will be offended. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that Krishna is more offended when his devotee is offended than when he himself is offended. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example of this really hot out, sunny and scorching, and you are walking barefoot. I guess that's that example would be more common in India, but even here on the beach in Asia. That the scorching sun will hurt your feet. Your feet will burn more walking in the hot than the head. So in the same way, Krishna feels more pain in his devotees are offended than when he himself is offended. Therefore, we should be very careful when we deal with the devotees, not to offend them. But to the contrary, if we appreciate them, we should glorify them, we should serve them. And that will please the holy name, and that will make it easier for us to chant the holy name with attention, with devotion, with feeling. So when we realize that we're the eternal servant of the Holy Name, then we want to surrender to the Holy Name. In the exact same process by which we surrender to Krishna, Srila Sanatana Goswami said one verse, Anu Kriyasa Sankalpa. The six divisions of surrender. That we should accept whatever is favorable. And in this context, we should accept whatever is favorable to chanting purely. And we should reject whatever is unfavorable. Now, what is favorable? Just on a very basic level, and we'll hear more about these principles in the moment. But let us say one thing that's favorable is to chant early in the morning. So the Prabhupada said that the Brahma Muhurta period, which begins about an hour and a half before sunrise, is most favorable for spiritual practices. So that's favorable. But that chanting early in the morning doesn't begin early in the morning. It actually begins the night before. Because if you stay up late, if you have a heavy meal before you shake rest, it would be hard to get up early and chant or something. So, accepting what is favorable means organizing our life in such a way that it's favorable to chanting, with attention. With attention means without a thing. And because you could have survived it, I'm just the opposite. You reject whatever is unfavorable. And as I mentioned, one of the most, not the most unfavorable thing is to be offensive against the devotees. Any offense, any of the kind of offenses is unfavorable, but especially to offend the devotees. We don't have to be careful about that. So what's favorable for our chanting
isn't just the effort we make at the time that we're chanting, but it's what we do with the rest of our life. That we bring into the time when we're up and chanting. So again, you know, what is the role of the Holy Name in the life of the devotee? The role of the Holy Name is that it's the center of the life of the devotee. And whatever the devotee does should be favorable to chanting and giving to that effect. Then, one should accept Krishna, again, same with the flag of the Holy Name, as one's guardian, as one's maintainer. One should have no separate interest. One should feel that whatever desires I have will be fulfilled only by the Holy Name. By the mercy of the Holy Name. And if the Holy Name doesn't want the desire to be fulfilled, it won't be fulfilled. No matter how hard I try on my own. And the same idea that the Holy Name is my maintainer and protector. And the Holy Name will protect me and maintain me. And on my own, I cannot protect or maintain myself. I recall an incident in the Boston temple. The first temple at 95 Glenville Avenue. At the time, the movement was very new, and we had only about maybe 10 or 12 devotees in the temple then. And the only real income we had was Sastarupa's paycheck. He was the temple president, and he worked for the welfare department. That was the only real income we had. People would visit the temple, we'd have to send them feasts, and people would give donations. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to pay the bills. So, we had a meeting. All the devotees gathered together and sat in a circle to discuss what to do. And the mood of the devotees was very surrendered. And Srila Prabhupada had said that if the devotees need, they can get jobs. So different devotees were volunteering when next devotee needed to see Pavan. He said, you know, he used to work in the post office before he joined. Get a job in the post office. Some of the other devotees said, well, I know the grocer down the street, maybe I could get a job in the grocery store. And then they said different devotees were volunteering to get jobs. So then another nice devotee, and named it before Prabhu, he recalled a recent letter that Srila Prabhupada had written. And every letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote was an occasion. Everyone could read every letter. Especially if one came. You know, everyone would know a letter from Prabhupada. And the devotee would receive it or open it in the presence of everyone. And everyone would hear it. So I don't know if the letter was written for us or not.
Each one of the devotees in our temple or not.
That kind of destroys that the Prabhupada wrote. That if you just do
Sankirtan means Harinam Sankirtan.
All of your problems will be solved materially and spiritually.
And you took everything that you have taught us so literally as true.
So that seemed like the answer. We just be saying, here, honey, all of our problems will be solved materially and spiritually.
We decided to try it.
So we went out, and in those days we didn't go out. So we went out chanting, maybe 6 or 8 were chanting, and 1 or 2 would accompany the party with a basket or a conch shell, and people put coins in. So at the end of the day, we added up the collection of more than $7, which was quite a lot then. We had, and maybe what Prabhupada told us true. Let's try tomorrow. So we did the same thing the next day, and when we got back, we counted up the collection. More than $12. We did the same thing the third day, almost $19. But wow, this is big time, big time collection. So that was it. Then from then on, we just did Harinam Sankirtan, and then we added selling the Prabhupada magazines with Harinam Sankirtan. We got all the money we needed. So the idea that Krishna, that the Holy One of Dharmasuna, Krishna Dharmasuna, the Holy One of Dharmasuna, there are many stories about how the devotees didn't have money to pay the rent, and then at the last minute, Krishna intervened and saved the situation. And of course, in Grihastha Ashram, this is a very brahminical principle, just to depend on whatever Krishna provides. And if you have sashram, one may not live like a brahmin, and the culture in the West is such, it's not that conducive to brahminical culture. Although it's possible, it is possible, but it's difficult. But ultimately, everything depends on Krishna, everything depends on the devotee. And then humility is one of the divisions of surrender. So we should feel humble before the Holy One. That we're nothing before the Holy One. And when we try to chant with attention, and realize how difficult it is. It's humble. It's very humble. And then full self-surrender. Atman said, full self-surrender. Surrender ourselves fully to the Holy One. Our bodies, our minds, our very selves. Just as we surrender to Krishna, we surrender to the Holy Name. And the Holy Name reciprocates. And he takes care of us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. Everything is there. Because Krishna means it's Krishna, and Hare means the energy of Krishna. And everything is either Krishna or the energy of Krishna. There's nothing that exists that's not either Krishna or the energy of Krishna. So everything is included. The spiritual life is also included. Points on the devotee in Boston and Srila Prabhupada that now you're here,
So if we have any questions, we can ask you.
But what about when you're not here? How will you get answers?
I should have Prabhupada replied,
the holy name of Krishna and Krishna are the same. Do you realize this fact?
Yep. Good answer. Actually, in 1977 in Juhu, we had a very nice life member named Mr. Steck, which is a devotion. And he was part of a Bhajan Mandali called Radha Madhav Satsang Bhajan Mandali. I believe they had a group from Vrindavan, and they were householders. But every Sunday they would meet at some venue. They usually went into the devotees' homes, and they would do a kind of Harinam Sanskritan, they would chant Hare Krishna, Harinam Sanskritan, 12 hours. And then after the 12 hours, they would sing Raj songs, the one or two hours. So Mr. Sessi had the idea that they could come and perform feasts at Juhu. And at the time, these towers were just being built. The Srila Prabhupada was staying upstairs on the top floor, but the building wasn't even finished. And the lift wasn't working. The Srila Prabhupada was very old on it. 1977, so it couldn't even come down. But the old temple that was sort of a shed, it was under his window, so they were doing kirtan for 12 hours. And then the next day, Srila Prabhupada called me in. And said, you know, what would you like to show Khan for the nights? He said, I want to invite all these people in the Radha Madhav Mandali to say Hare Krishna. We will give them accommodations and prasadam, and all they have to do is kirtan for 12 hours a day, and I will maintain them. So, and Prabhupada said, and all of you, I want all of you to do 12 hours kirtan every day. So I said, Srila Prabhupada feels so much service to do. Then Srila Prabhupada said, all right, then at least once a week on Sunday, it all goes. Later I related the incident to the Holiness Mahakrishna Goswami. And he said that Srila Prabhupada was doing transcendental bhajan. And he would have begun with 12 hours on Sunday, and then said, oh, that's a lot. How about 4 hours? But because he began with like 12 hours every day of the week, and then he came down to this 12 hours one day a week. But what happened was, we did it, and it was so amazing that whatever problem we had, and when you're managing their problems, when you're doing anything usually with their problems, But it became a thing that every Sunday, all the problems were solved. Either the problem just went away, or then Krishna gave us the intelligence how to deal with the problem. And so it was like a regular thing. I would deal with the problems. I was a temple president. I deal with the problems. That's a Wednesday. Then Thursday was sort of like, let's see if I can get this one until Sunday. And then the closer we got, the less I did. I was just waiting for Sunday. Miraculously, all the problems were resolved. Amazing. So that's the power and mercy of the Holy Spirit. We can experience the same thing through the chant of japa. So, you know, it helps our teachers in perspective. Sometimes because of circumstances, we don't chant early in the morning. But I find if we do chant early in the morning, then we really get a good perspective on the rest of the day and beyond. And we really see what's important and what's not, what I have to do and what I really don't have to do. So, so much of our time is spent doing things that we don't really have to do that aren't even that important and necessary. But we just do them because we don't know what else to do, and we think we have to do them because we don't have the proper perspective. So, of course, it's good to chant in the morning because our minds are fresh. And the morning is more than other purpose. You know, the holy name is transcendental, Shiva. But still, within the material most, the mode of goodness is easier, more conducive. The mind is my mode of goodness. And that gives us perspective for the rest of the day. But Chaitanya Sadhari should always chant. Every year, the residents of Kulunagram in Bengal would come to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri at the time of Rath Yatra. And every year they would ask him, what is our duty, especially as householders, what is our duty? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would require to chant the holy name without cessation, nirantara, continuously. Chant the holy name, nirantara, without any interval or gap. And to serve the Vaishnava. So that nirantara, the same idea as Chaitanya Sadhu, always chant the holy name. Well, what does that mean, always chant the holy name? You have to eat. You have to sleep, you have to bathe, you have to dress, you have to work. It means two things, which are two sides of the same. It means that our goal is to chant without cessation. Our goal is to chant 24 hours. And there are some very advanced souls in Vrindavan and Govardhan who chant almost 24 hours a day. They have to do it. And Haridas Thakur, who chant 3 lakhs names, that's 64 rounds times 3. So if you figure 16 rounds is 2 hours, so 64 rounds is 8 hours, so 3 times 64 rounds is 24 hours. So, So that's our goal, actually. That's our goal, to come to the stage where all the human souls are here. And Krishna takes care of us through that chain of the Dharma.
But we can artificially imitate someone who
at that stage of Paramahansa.
So, for us, Chaitanya Sadhana means that we do the minimum required to keep the body and soul together, and the rest of the time we chant the Holy Name. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explaining that performing activities for the maintenance of the body is not outside of true devotional service, it's not outside of the principle of Chaitanya Sadhana. Because if you don't eat, you won't be able to live. You won't be able to keep your body and soul together to chant the Holy Name. So we do. We work, we bathe, we dress, we eat, we sleep, to keep the body and soul together so we can chant the Holy Name and serve the Holy Name by chanting about this, so others will hear. But by telling people about it, so they'll also want to chant. But that should be the goal. That should be the goal. We work hard, but then we come home, take a shower, maybe a little prasad and chant. I've heard, but I don't think that would apply to anyone here, but I've heard that sometimes at the end of the day the devotees are so like frustrated after a day at the office or whatever, that they don't feel like chanting. They have the time, but they're just like, too zonked out or something. Rather they turn on the television to watch the TV. But Chaitanya Sadhana really means whatever time we have, other than what we have to spend on keeping the body and soul together, means to shape. Or serve the Holy Name. Now this, I thought, I did bring some books with me, read some quotations that sort of encapsulate some of the things I said, but because they're coming from Srila Prabhupada, but it was kind of that. At least this one. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila chapter 8. Please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya
Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita
Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Translation. If one is infected with the ten offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name from any birth, he will not get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of his chanting. And this is another topic. This isn't the point here. And it's not as hopeless as it might sound, because there are other verses, like in the Padma Purana, that if one commits offenses while chanting, the remedy is to continue to chant. So, but anyway, I'll read this purport. Purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Sarasvatī says in this connection that unless one accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although one goes on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for many, many years, there is no possibility of him becoming the platform of devotional service. We have to accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One must follow strictly the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given in the Shishaktika. Sanadati Sunichena Sarada Sunipurishina Manina Mandena Sutanyan Sarahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than a star in the street. One should be more tolerant and true, devoid of all sense of false prestige. One should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Shishastika 3. One who follows this direction will be free from the ten kinds of offenses, become successful in Krishna consciousness, and ultimately reaches the platform of loving service, the personality of Godhead. One must come to the understanding that the holy name of the Lord and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself are identical. This is the point. One cannot reach this conclusion unless one is offenseless in chanting the holy name. You might hear it theoretically, but you don't actually experience it unless you become offenseless. And it's very important to actually experience it. By our material calculation, we see a difference between the name and the substance, and in the spiritual world, the absolute is always absolute. The name, form, quality, and pastimes of the absolute are all as good as the absolute himself. As such, one is understood to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he considers himself an eternal servant of the holy name, and in this spirit distributes the holy name to the world. So he has two functions, the one is to chant, and the other is to distribute. If it's more comfortable for you to sit up, you can sit up on the chair. One who chants in that spirit without offenses is certainly elevated to the platform of understanding that the holy name and the personality of Godhead are identical. To associate with the holy name or chant the holy name is to associate with the personality of God as
directly.
Now, there are many statements in the scripture about the potency of the holy name, the efficacy of chanting the holy name. For example, there's a statement that says that by just chanting the holy name once, one can destroy the reactions to those things that are unsincere. The Srila Prabhupada comments that there is not the least exaggeration in such statements. But it depends on the quality of the chanting. If someone is on the path of material improvement, generally Sarvashita Shukadeva, trying to improve himself by high birth, material opulence, education, beautiful women. If one is materially satisfied and complacent, he cannot chant the holy name with you. And to chant, to get the result of chanting, one must chant with you. Attention of this is given up in the prayers of Queen Kriti. That Krishna is the property of those who are materially impoverished, attention or misfortune, without possession. Now, again, if one is very advanced, especially if he lives in a climate such as in India, he could actually live without any material possession. Again, they're highly elevated with the Lord. In Vrindavan, or Govardhan Hill, they practically have no possessions. They just have a cave or something, they have like a tunnel or some place under the ground, and they eat whatever they get. They have no possessions. Or, one should not have any false sense of proprietorship. Because we're preaching, so we have temples, we have ashrams, we have books, we have paraphernalia. But if you think I'm the proprietor, again, I am mine. I'm the proprietor. This is my temple. This is my office. This is my service. Then we cannot chant with truth giving. But if you're a tensioner, a mistensioner, without any material possession, without any false proprietorship, then you can chant the thing. Then our only possession is the Holy Name. Our only possession is Krishna. I am Krishna and Krishna is mine. That's all I have. When we think I have so many other things, then we can't think that I am Krishna and Krishna is mine. Krishna is really ours when we have nothing else except Krishna. Then we can say Krishna is ours, and he will be ours. Because Yaya Tamman Kapadam, for as you surrender to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. So, if you give this, see, you give yourself 10% to Krishna, Krishna will give you 10% of himself. But when you give yourself 100% to Krishna, I am Krishna's, and Krishna gives himself 100% to you. And Krishna is mine. And that is the perfection of chanting. Krishna fully reveals himself to us. His name
this form, this quality as possible. It builds us up just to kind of the perfection of chanting. But in another verse, Guru Kunti prayed to Lord Krishna, he sever my ties of affection for my family members, so that my love for you will flow just like the Ganges flows to the ocean. And then, purport to the Prabhupada raises the question that her family members on both sides were devotees. And affection for devotees is not outside the range of devotional service. So why is she praying for the affectionate ties to be severed? Srila Prabhupada explained that when Queen Kunti asked for her ties of affection to be severed, she means the affection that is based on the body, the affection that's based on, oh, this is my father and mother, this is my husband, his family. We don't have to actually give up the relationship, but we have to purify the relationship so that the spiritual people, which are based on the soul in relation to the Supreme Soul, are preserved, and the material features of the relationship are based on the body, become more and more insignificant. So the same, it's the same idea with Krishna, that we don't fall to him and open his eyes, you know, that we are the eternal servant of the Holy Name. And every living entity is the eternal servant of the Holy Name. And therefore, our relationship with others is to help them in the service to the Holy Name. And to work together to just give the Holy Name to others. That's our relationship, that's our spiritual relationship. And in that spiritual relationship, we don't have to, that spiritual relationship won't be an impediment to our relationship with the Holy Name. But if in the body concept of life, you know, my wife, my children, my, then that will be an impediment. Then when we're chanting, instead of hearing the Holy Name, our mind will be thinking, oh, my wife, my children, we think of all the things we think are mine, and all the bills we have to pay, all the things we have to do, and we won't be focused. Of course, we do have to do those things. We do have to do those things to keep the body and soul together. And again, Gopal Bhatta Prabhu, who has probably more responsibility than any of us. Of course, he's very organized. His company is called the Closet Factory. And the idea of the business is how to store things efficiently, economically, so you're not searching for things where you're at. There's a place for everything. So, in a way, his mind is like that, right? He's got, he has everything stored right where it's supposed to be. So when he chants, he doesn't have to worry about all the list of things he has to do. Like we chant, we're so busy all the time, we don't set aside time to make a list of what we have to do. So when we chant, then we start to remember all the things we have to do that we have not. So our chanting becomes
a session to make a to-do list. But he, you know, he takes time out. He has this long list of things to do. But that's not to be done when he's chanting. That he does outside of his time to chant. And when he chants, that's all he does. He just chants from here. And to put himself in that frame of mind, which we should all have when we're chanting. This is that time of the Holy Name. This is the most precious time of the day. This is our time to associate with Krishna directly as the Holy Name. Although like in his case, he takes off his eyeglasses. And he's not looking at anything, he's just chewing. Or takes off his wristwatch. Yeah. Oh boy, oh boy. But he gets up early. He's very disciplined. He takes reps about 8 o'clock at night, gets up at 2 in the morning, and he chants 16 rounds before the sun even rises. I was fortunate to attend a japa retreat in Ojai earlier in the year, April. And one of the participants was our god sister, Yamuna Devi. And the organizer, Krishna Shukla Prabhu, gave me the topic, Srila Prabhupada's instructions on the Holy Name, Srila Prabhupada's instructions in example. But outside, that particular retreat was like all god brothers and god sisters, people have been seriously chanting for 30 years. So very collegial. And afterwards, sort of asked Yamuna Devi about what instructions she had received. But she reminded me of an incident. I was pregnant, actually. At a rented apartment on Northern Road in Bombay, across Ganga. So we were chanting in the temple. That was the system at the Mangalarti. We chanted together in the temple. And she was called by two in the room. We sat down on the other side. And immediately everyone sat up straight and waved and waved. And the first recipient of Srila Prabhupada's special mercy was a brahmachari in Thakur. Poor Thakur, he had a dirty bead bag. And Srila Prabhupada pointed out, why do you have dirty bead bags? You should have two bee bags every night. You wash one. And the next recipient for Srila Prabhupada's special attention was Yamuna Devi. She started to do her dietary. And Srila Prabhupada asked her, have you completed your 16 rounds? And I said, no. I said, you should complete the 16 rounds before you do the dietary. So she took that as an instruction that she should complete the 16 rounds before sunrise. Because that's when we do our morning dietary. But that's again, taking rest and getting up early. And I know some people can't do it because of circumstances. But go pop up a little bit, gets rest of eight, gets up at 2, and he finishes all 16 rounds before sunrise. But even then, it doesn't mean that
our mind won't wander when we chant. Even if we take rest early, don't overeat, get up early, don't have any real external reasons not to be attentive, but because of the fact that we're conditioned souls, the mind does tend to wander. Even our dream complained to Krishna that the mind is very difficult to control, that it seems as easy to control the wind as to control the mind. Krishna says, yes, it is difficult, but it's possible by practice and detachment. So practice, that's a large part of success in chanting, practice. Abhyasa practice. The practice of practice makes perfect in the spiritual life. And that's a very profound state. Because there are two stages in bhakti, sadhana bhakti, that's the state of practice, and sadhya, the state of perfection. Practice makes perfect in the spiritual life. And we're not alone. That's the best part. We're not alone in our endeavors. Krishna will help us. Of course, we have our God brothers and God sisters, superiors, but Krishna himself will help us. Here's a favorite example, often given this. When Mother Yashoda cried to Vanish, Krishna, the throats, the truth. Do you all know the story? Well, this is a pastime when Krishna appeared on earth 5,000 years ago. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the origin of all. He has no origin. But still, out of love, he takes the form of a baby and a child and a grow up. And pure devotees who want to serve him in that way, they pay the price of his mother and father. And because of their love and their desire to serve him in the mood of a mother and father, he himself becomes in the mood of being the son. This is a very high stage of love of God. So one day, Mother Yashoda was feeding Krishna with the breast milk when some milk that she had kept on the fire began to boil over. So she set baby Krishna aside to turn to the milk that was on the fire. And baby Krishna, you know, became frustrated and angry because he wasn't satisfied. Anyway, there was this anger. So Krishna did is he broke some pots of butter and yogurt that was in the household. This lila, red lila, takes place in as a cowherd in Narayana, Shunamath pasture. And so he did this mischief. He broke the pots of butter and yogurt. And so Mother Yashoda wanted to find him his ghost. Partly to punish him, and partly was to keep him from further mischief. So she pursued him, that's it, that he was able to escape her. But in the end, he allowed her to catch him. But even after he allowed her to catch him, she still had to bind him. So
she put the ropes around his waist, but it was short by the length of two fingers, if you say 3 inches. So she got some more ropes and added it on, and it was still 2 inches too short. She added more. She called the neighbors. They added their ropes, and the cow heard from me. They had a lot of ropes. She tied the cows and calves and churned butter and all sorts of things. So they tied together all the ropes in the whole village, and it was still 2 inches too short. So Mother Yashoda just, you know, her friends were telling her, you're not going to be able to do it. You know, you should just give up. You're not going to be able to do it. You might as well admit it. But she didn't give up. She was determined. She felt it was her duty as his mother to control him and discipline him. And when Krishna saw how hard she was endeavoring, out of love for him, he allowed himself to be bound. So our acharyas, Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī and Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakura, have commented that those 2 inches, the 2 fingers, one is the devotee's endeavor, parishra, the devotee's hard labor, like Mother Yashoda, she labored so hard, tirelessly. She didn't give up, even though she tried and tried and tried again and was unsuccessful, she didn't give up. She's tireless in her effort. So that covered half the distance, one finger. And the other half of the distance was covered by Krishna's mercy, Krishna Kripa. And the same applies to us. We're trying to bind Krishna in our minds when we chant the holy name. And it's very difficult. But when Krishna sees our hard labor, that we're not just casually doing it, like, you know, walking around the house doing what needs to be done with our finger in our deep bag, glancing at the newspaper, but when Krishna sees we're really trying our best, we're struggling, trying to hear when we chant, then he will come towards us. If you take one step towards God, he will take 2 steps towards you. He just wants to see that you're sincere and serious. Then he will reciprocate. So that's an indispensable factor in our success, Krishna Kripa, the mercy of the Lord. It's not exactly that our hard labor makes us successful, but our hard labor shows Krishna that we're sincere and that he really wants him. And when he says, oh, my devotee wants me, I must go. And then Krishna reveals himself to us more and more. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
So are there any questions or comments? Yes, the Vrinda Mati.
I was hoping for something to kind of connect with you. I'm not forgetting to have it and have it. And I was trying to get into the service.
You remember much of the circle. Sometimes it happens that she sacrifices a shame for the sake of service. And for the sake of service, she's still up late. And she sleeps late. She will finish the round, but it won't be the same. So how to overcome this? Well, on a practical level, you should be organized. Organized involves two aspects. One is we organize what we have to do in a systematic way, according to our priorities and the allocation of time to it. The other way is we see what we can delegate. Like someone gave me a magnet that you put on the refrigerator. So much to do, and so few people to do it once. So we have to allocate either time or delegate the responsibility. But being organized. And when Srila Prabhupada passed instructions to me in particular with intelligence and organization. But sometimes there are emergencies. And if we take up the service in the mood of service to the Holy Name, then we will still be connected to the Holy Name when we do the service. I had one case, I mean, His Holiness Narendra Swami had spent some time with me in Santa Barbara, and one day, we each have our set routines, and my routine would be to walk in the afternoon with Shul. And it just so happened that he wanted to speak with me. So I went, I took a walk on the beach, and after a walk I stood in shul, that is shul, and really relishing. And then it was relishing on my level. And then at a certain stage, I remembered that he was back at the house and that she wanted to speak with me. But I was relishing and I didn't want to stop. And then at a certain point I felt like the Holy Name was speaking to me. That Narendra Swami is my dear servant. That he's done much to spread the Holy Name all over the world. So if you serve him, you'll be serving me, and I'll be more pleased if you stop your hand and you go and serve him. But that was a special case, but it illustrates the point that in doing it in that mood, then I went back to my shield and wasn't really bereft. Done in the service for the Holy Name. Another devotee, very intelligent devotee of mine, named Dharam Prabhu. But he was the devotees, the leaders in India wanted him to take up some legal battle in Bangalore, and he just really wasn't in the mood, and he felt, he didn't know how it was all going to end up anyway, and he'd rather just spend the time chanting in Mayapur. But he wasn't completely sure what to do,
So he approached Jnanivas Prabhu, the head pujari there. I think he had a lot of faith in Jnanivas Prabhu. Many devotees do, because they need him. So he explained his dilemma, that he's really very unsure of how it's going to work, shaking up the legal battle, and what kind of support he'll get from the leaders, and what the final result will be. And he feels, you know, he can really just stay a champ. He can just duck up. So that should close to that need, yes. So Jnanivas, as he said, give me some time and I'll let you know. And I think the way Bairam Prabhu took it was moving and asked Radhamadava. So the next day, or whenever, he came back with the answer. And he said that one can chant the holy name by the mercy of the Vaishnava. And if you serve the Vaishnava, you get their mercy, you'll be able to chant the holy name better. And if you refuse their request and try to chant the holy name on your own, you displease them. And he took that as a, he took that as coming from Krishna, an instruction coming from Krishna. So it's the same thing that as long as the holy name is the center, Krishna is the center, you can serve the servants of the holy name. The holy name may be not pleased under certain circumstances. If you serve the servant, to serve the mission. And I think that that's the ultimate surrender. I just think of this one little incident in Bombay when he was struggling to get the land. Oh boy. I mean, those were the days. He didn't have any place to stay, he didn't have, I mean, a lot of people didn't have telephones in those days. We certainly didn't. So, one morning, about 6 a.m, Srila Prabhupada asked Ramakrishna Goswami something about the courtship and the struggle to get the people in. And Ramakrishna Goswami said, I didn't get to speak to the royal, but asked him about the guest going to the meeting. Well, it was at 6:15 a.m. But Ramakrishna Goswami had to go out down the street, you know, looking for some house at 6 a.m. that had a telephone. And where they let him call. They found one he called, and the lawyer's wife answered. So he explained Prabhupada wanted some information from his guest son. So he was a minute later, Mr. Vasnani came back and said, Mr. Vasnani is doing his kupa now, and that will pull me back after he finishes his kupa. Kupa had a chance to phone back because he didn't have the phone. And so, Tamal Krishna Goswami is a little peeved. So, he came back to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, you know, I phoned and this is what happened, and, you know, Srila Devotee is, you know, on the phone through him, and, you know, he has to do his puja to minister to the devotee. Srila Prabhupada said, actually, in the beginning, it's good to be regulated that it's actually good. So, of course, Prabhupada himself was very regulated, but he also made exceptions for the sake of service. So he followed the same example. He regulated as far as possible. He was very regulated. Very regulated. But there can be exceptions
but the exception should be done, should be made on the basis of genuine need and the need of service, not like,
oh, well, you know, interrupt there, let's watch something. We stay up till 11 o'clock.
And I found some, it can work either way, but sometimes when I stayed up late, the real genuine cause and made that sacrifice for the sake of Prabhupada and Krishna, then the next day is better. The next day is better. Because it's definitely but it should be an exception. It should be better.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, I have a one more question.
There's something to the satisfied with your own role of saying your own name or whatever. But this outcome becomes uncomfortable with, you know, very inactive.
How do we overcome
our complacency with mediocrity
and chanting?
So then we get solace in the fact that we do other things well, even if we don't chant well. So how do we overcome the complacency? Well, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter in which he said that our service should be a challenge that we can meet only by coming to a higher level of Krishna consciousness. So, you know, if you're really preaching, you're gonna come up against problems that you can only solve by surrendering more, by taking more shelter of the Holy Name. But if you are the other is by associating, but here it's important to hear. I believe Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that it's good to regularly hear about the glories of the Holy Name. That is, you can spell I'd like to see if there are any volunteers to take the role of Tamal Krishna Goswami when you can feel uncomfortable. Would you be happy? Any other questions or comments? Do you like that?
Sharing the question we have it.
Very good question. She says that she distributes the holy name to others who grow selfless and generosity and have come to that level.
Actually, Srila Bhakti Thakur says that that mood of compassion and wanting to share it with others comes naturally when you chant a thankful speech. If you chant a thankful tune, you're actually feeling sort of full from by the mercy of the Holy Name, or enlivened by the mercy of the Holy Name, and you want to share it with others. It would be the natural consequence of a thankful tune. At one airport, and departure, she was called across to New York. And she said, but a newspaper reporter asked him, what did this chanting accomplish? Prabhupada smiled very broadly. Chanting accomplishes chanting. The more you chant, the more you want to chant. Like Rupa Goswami said, how can I chant with one tongue in 2 years? I have millions of tongues in billions of years, and I can begin to chant. So when you chant a thankful speech, Shiva Gagana Markham, that selfishness that should be purified. And when the selfishness is purified, that's that. You need a service to others. Namo Mahabhavanaya Krishna 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 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu claims to deliver the Holy Name. The most munificent incarnation. And Srila Prabhupada said that we're his followers, so we should also be munificent. He said specifically at the temple president, they should be munificent because they're following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They should all be munificent. Should all be generous or valiant. And it comes by serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chanting with other people. And association is there for everything. Associate with devotees who have kissed with all of them. Associate with devotees who sincerely want to give the Holy Name to others.
Because in the course of chanting you turn around in the temple, different things need to be done. In the like your death ropes or be the Kuidara, you can see some devotees not feeling or need to write to the airport. Or some devotees come and ask you something and you open up. So is it better sometimes to chant in your own privacy where you know this person, or to be in the midst of devotees and seemingly you are constantly bombarded with this question? Asking some people, can you do this? Oh, can you bring this pot here to the restaurant? Can you help me with this? Oh, can you take this devotee there? So sometimes I wonder, is it better to be in solitude and not be distracted with this thing, or be in the midst of going to a little devotee that's favorable to the world of things, but at the same time,
well, in my humble opinion, we should create an atmosphere in the temple where devotees can come and chant without being disturbed. and especially between Mangalarti and Deity Guru. I've heard that in other places as well, that people want to come to the temple, congregation members, they want to come to the temple to chant in front of the deities, chant in the temple room, but then some devotee will... Yeah. So they also think, well, maybe I should just stay at home and chant. It's a difficult question. It could be better. It could be better to chant at home. With Tulsi Devi, with your family. Because we need that time alone. I mean, I don't know how people come to a proper understanding. It would be nice to chant in the temple room. To be perfectly honest, I mean, it's a pretty dismal confession, but I went to chant in the temple room last night after the temple was closed. I thought I wouldn't be disturbed there. Kind of a rather circumstances. But, I don't know. Maybe not in line with the answer that they have. I think it's something about our corporate culture that you should respect people who are chanting. And, you know. I don't know how to answer this question. Five to seven is safe. After that, venture at your own risk. So what I would say is that devotees should understand the change in the service, and that even if they have some other service for you, they should be very respectful when they see a change. I think they should avoid interrupting, but if they should respect chanting as a service. But again, you know, sometimes the devotees in the temple might feel there's some imbalance, that they do a lot of service in the congregation, they sort of come and get all the benefits of the beautiful deity worship and the temple programs and the visiting preachers, and they don't really do anything for it. And so the temple devotees may feel they should do something. So then, you approach them, and you hope they respect them, and you chant to them, and they don't want to disturb you. Mm-hmm. Yes, Dharma Prabhu.
Follow up on Rati Prabhu's question. Sometimes it's not so much that people, the devotees are coming and asking me to do things, but I'm doing other things instead of saying the wrong. It's like you can make yourself so busy with so many things to do, especially around the temple, and then if you add work to it, then you suddenly find, oh, I'm out of time for the pocket money. That's the problem I have more than it's just like there's always something to do, or we should do this, or this, and that, this. That seems to be more than I have to follow had any ideas about that, how we overcome that.
I think that will be this afternoon's
topic.
I think on these practical questions of what we can approach with discussing them, I've been asked to.
Very much, I'd love to be more angry.
What if you have kids and you're trying to help them do their favorite thing, and so you're getting distracted because of that, and then you're trying to help them do it on the bee, and they're sometimes skipping bee? Is that a big offense, or should they not do it altogether if it's in a conflict?
Okay, I'm going to use some discretionary powers here, and the practical questions that I feel would fit in the afternoon session will keep for the afternoon session. I'll be here if it helps. Yes, Chip, tell me that.
What about the question that you put the faith in? Sometimes
somebody
will be
said, we should be our own champion. I said about some power job or so, and sometimes the organization may be your own champion. That leadership may be your own champion. That's what job means, to be your own champion. I mean, I've heard that one should have popped up turning the company in Dallas and they by mistake. You know, why are you playing my kid? You know, your chanting, not my chanting. But the chanting, but some of those get inspiration for their chanting by having Prabhupada drop the soap. And when we're in the temple room, there are other devotees chanting as well. So I feel that we could play Prabhupada's japa tape, but it shouldn't be so loud that we can't hear our own chanting, because ultimately we are meant to hear our own chanting. I think if it's favorable, it's okay, but I think it really depends on the individual. But it shouldn't be so loud that you have trouble hearing your own chanting. That's ultimately what we're meant to be doing, right? It shouldn't be that.
I regularly chant this, I hear many things about the thoughts of the business and the thoughts of the country. So,
so that's nice. That inspiration from Prabhupada's state. You feel that. It's be very individual. But if it's in the temple room, it could be there, but not too loud, so that it doesn't make it hard for some people. Were you one of the last two? Last. The first part of the question was
sort of the answer that also this is the same as changing, which is true in a way, but still that which exists now. Besides the beauty service, it should be done inside of it. It's a regulated principle that there should be no cause in the beauty tissue. In the old days of beauty, I don't know if it's good or bad, but one of the popularities to intimate with the beauty department, he would sit on a stool at the kitchen door. And if anyone started to talk in the kitchen, you know, come with a stick or not literally with a stick, but yeah, that's the idea of the principle. We should be cooking in a meditative mood. We're cooking for Krishna. And the talking should be the very minimum as required for service, and that's all. Cooking death and leave. Any of the services in the temple. If you learn the silence, you will appreciate.
So,
I repeat, the question is how to become more humble. Well, the question is how to be more humble. You should humbly tell him, stop talking against the rules. Come to tell the authority.
You tolerate it.
You're supposed to tolerate it, we're supposed to tolerate offense. And then you can tolerate an offense, but you shouldn't tolerate offenses. It's the Lord, it's not the devotees, these are the Seva Akaras. I mean, they do that. Friends by changing the holy name, but it's still, I made it myself. I did talk to him. And the evening when I brought up the life of God, talking about the destiny of the evening, and even related to the beauty service, it's talking. Thanks for it. You and I should. I'm sure everyone's. I don't know if I can accept that last thing, but
you should be careful about that. You should be careful.
It keeps coming up. It's coming up. Alright, thank you very much. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Swami Maharaj.